Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
There's a very important concept that we all have to understand. In order to really project what's about to happen in our world, these are historical, geopolitical shifts. And this has everything to do with the role of robotics and AI. Now, let's back up, though, for a moment. Until today, the power of any nation was derived from, indirectly, from its population size. The larger the population, the more things they could build or the more ideas they could create. A nation with a larger population, you know, by and large, I mean, not all nations with high populations are well-educated, but you know, China is, for example, the U.S. has been, Russia has a great education system, etc. The more people you have, the more the nation can get things done. Labor and cognition. Cognition comes from human brains, labor comes from human muscle. And a government becomes powerful by supporting a larger and larger population from which they can extract more and more labor and cognition. And this is done by taxing people and then spending the taxes on government or directing tax dollars to the projects that you want to build, like research or weapons and military, space travel, spacecraft, all these kinds of things. So how do you get a larger population? Well, you have to have affordable food. So food was the key driver of population, and population was the key driver of innovation. So the United States of America, one of the things that made America great was the fact that it has an abundant food supply because it has abundant farmland and it has water supplies and it has numerous rivers to transport grain and other supplies on barges. America is blessed with rivers and also, shorelines on the East Coast and West Coast and in the Gulf of America, it's now called, and the Great Lakes up north, etc. And all of this can be used for transport. And if you look back at the USDA food guide pyramid from, let's say, the 1950s or so, really, what was the message of the food guide pyramid? It was just eat more food. Because in the 1930s and the late 20s, around the Great Depression, there wasn't enough food in America, and people were malnourished. There wasn't enough food. And that was actually very common in that time, the early 20th century. China didn't have enough food. Russia didn't have enough food for those decades. We had the Holodomor in Ukraine in the early 1930s, where food was deliberately deprived to millions of people in order to kill them. And that's exactly what happened, thanks to Stalin. So food was not actually abundant until two things came along. Number one, the mechanization of agriculture through the combustion engines and the development of tractors, which allowed one man to do the work of, 100 horses, or actually hundreds of horses, right? Hundreds of horsepower is the way tractors are rated. And at the same time, you had the rise of synthetic fertilizer by turning natural gas into, nitrogen-based fertilizers. And this was initially developed by the Nazi German scientists, by the way. And the whole process of doing this is named after German scientists. But they came up with this process to take nitrogen out of the air, because the air is about almost 80%, 79% nitrogen. They take nitrogen out of the air and they combine it with hydrocarbons to make nitrogenous fertilizers. Then these fertilizers, which became very inexpensive, could be spread on crops to grow enormous quantities of food without relying on animal manure fertilizer. Now, I'm not here to debate the health impacts of this, but rather we're talking about population and population size, and synthetic fertilizers absolutely allowed populations to explode. So as population exploded in the United States, then you had more universities and more university graduates and more engineers and scientists, more cognition and more labor. And throughout the 1950s and 60s and 70s, it was a real boom in America, more of everything. And you didn't really have obesity until about the 1980s, when, you know, now we start to have too much food and too much processed food and sedentary lifestyles, too much television, which only got worse with the rise of the internet in the 1990s, and then the rise of mobile devices in the 2000s. So now you have way too much food, lack of cognition, the population is not really supporting the mission of the nation anymore. At least that's not the case in the United States. But here's where everything flips. So up until now, just to review, up until now, it took people to make a nation strong. It took people to design aerospace technology and weapons technology and to create GDP. It took people to have muscle, and it took people to have cognition. All of that's changing with AI and AI robots. So cognition is going into the AI software realm. We now have reasoning models that can outthink nearly all human beings living today. And we have the rise of AI robots that are now demonstrating extraordinary leaps in technology of motor control and robot cooperation, sensory feedback from the natural world around them, you know, visual feedback, learning models. All these kinds of things are happening just so fast. You can hardly keep up. I can hardly keep up, and I try to keep up. So it makes you realize that over the next 10 years, let's say, there's going to be a super dramatic historic shift, that the labor and cognition that has previously defined national power, which used to have to come from humans, will now come from artificial machines, artificial intelligence, and AI robots. So now you no longer need food to feed the people, to have babies, to have more people, to build more stuff. Food is no longer the critical input in this supply chain of cognition and labor. What's the input? Power, energy. Okay? Energy becomes the input. So with energy as the input, you can scale up to as many robots as you want, really. You can scale up AI cognition as long as you have energy to power the data centers. So this means there's going to be a dramatic shift in the power of nations. No longer will the ultimate power of nations be determined by who has the most farmland and who can grow the most food. Rather, it's going to be determined by who has the most energy and the most energy infrastructure in order to tap into that energy. And this is why Russia is in arguably the best position in the world for this phase of history, because Russia is sitting on something like one-third of the entire world's energy supply. And Russia has energy infrastructure, even though, of course, the West tried to destroy some of it by bombing the Nord Stream pipelines. But Russia knows how to build energy infrastructure. Russia can build pipelines. Russia can build natural gas, you know, transport systems, and oil refining, and other forms of energy. Russia is very experienced in that area, and Russia can produce energy cheaply, you could say, inexpensively. Russia can also transport energy on large ships and is well-versed in energy transport. Whereas the United States, before the new Trump administration, under Biden and the libtard Democrats, America was shutting down its energy infrastructure, canceling pipelines, canceling drilling, canceling energy exploration by design, because the climate lunatics were in charge and they were saying that energy is bad and combustion engines are bad and fossil fuels are bad and just basically economic activity is bad, bad, bad. So shut it all down. And that's what they did for 4 years, which crippled America, really set America behind Russia and China in terms of exploiting and developing its own energy resources. See, America has abundant energy resources, but politically, it has been denied access to them. And the same is true in Western Europe. You know, the climate lunatics in Europe have said, well, we shouldn't tap into our natural gas. You know, we shouldn't explore energy. It's bad. Meanwhile, Russia the whole time has just been building energy infrastructure and building mining infrastructure to where they have abundant minerals, abundant fossil fuels, abundant oil, abundant gas, abundant, you know, even port infrastructure that can transport all this stuff. So Russia is way ahead of the United States. And now with the rise of robots, Russia can simply redirect that energy into robotics and AI. And that replaces people in the development of technologies. It does. It does replace people. It makes human cognition and human labor virtually obsolete. So you might say, well, Russia only has a population of, 150 million people. How can they compete with America? Well, population won't matter. That's how. Population will not matter. It matters right now, but it won't matter much longer. In fact, that's why the globalists are trying to eliminate human populations. They don't even want them around. Depopulation and infertility. Those are the top two goals being pushed right now with vaccines and everything else. So now back in the United States, Texas is becoming the AI data center headquarters for the nation, with numerous companies announcing massive projects to build data centers in Texas, including, of course, Oracle and OpenAI, and also Taiwan Semiconductor announcing a plan to expand its chip manufacturing in Arizona. So Arizona is already producing a tremendous quantity of microchips thanks to Taiwan technology. But in Texas, where I live, it's being said right now that Texas will have to build the equivalent of 30 nuclear power plants in the next 5 years in order to meet the power demand of the AI data centers. Now, notice that I said equivalent, because I said this to someone the other day, just like that, and they said, Texas is going to build 30 nuclear power plants? I said, no, equivalent of 30 nuclear power plants. So what is the equivalent of 30 nuclear power plants in terms of, gigawatt hours of energy that it can produce? Well, it's going to be a slew of natural gas power plants or coal power plants, or maybe they'll finally stop the suppression of cold fusion or hot fusion technology or so-called zero-point energy, free energy technologies, who knows? Exotic alien tech, something like that, antimatter technology. They're going to need a lot of energy to be competitive. I mean, the country. Trump needs to lift the lid on cold fusion. Stop the suppression of cold fusion. Cold fusion is real, and it can produce energy at extremely low cost, very safely. It doesn't involve hot fusion. It doesn't involve nuclear material of any kind. It just uses heavy water, and is actually a slow process that just produces excess heat in water. And then you use that heat to produce steam and drive turbines, etc., which is how nuclear power plants work. But nuclear power plants use far more dangerous fuel rods. Cold fusion does it safely. And cold fusion, the entire ocean is the energy source for cold fusion, so you're not going to run out of fuel. Three quarters of the planet is covered with ocean water, with heavy water in there as well, and deuterium, etc. So Texas is trying to become an AI hub, an AI cognition hub and an AI robotics hub. Tesla will be manufacturing robots in Texas, but Texas is going to need a boatload of energy to make this happen. Fortunately, Texas is an energy-friendly state. And just as I said that Russia is looking very positive for its future because it's got a lot of energy and it knows how to harness energy, so does Texas. So of all the states in America, no state has a brighter future than the state of Texas for this very reason. And if you're wondering why technology is coming to Texas, it's because of the energy demand. And it's also clear, politically, that libtard states run by Democrats, they will not allow energy to be consumed or produced in their states. And it's a suicide pact among libtards. They hate energy, they hate combustion engines, which means they hate humanity, they hate food, they hate technology, they hate it all. They just hate life, which is why they kill so many of their babies. But they hate everything. So if you're a tech company, you can't build infrastructure in California, Oregon, Washington State. You can't build infrastructure in New Mexico or Colorado or New Jersey or New York. If you even try to, all the libtards in the state will shut it down. They'll say, we hate energy. You can't use energy in this state. So where do the tech companies go? They go to energy-friendly states that have abundant energy supplies and that have a culture of honoring energy, celebrating energy. And that's Texas. There's no better example of that than Texas. So Texas is going to become not only the energy capital of America, which arguably it already is, but also the technology capital. Texas is going to become the AI capital of America and the robot factory capital of America. That's why Tesla moved to Texas and bought up all the land around my warehouse. Like, my warehouse is sitting right in the middle of all the Tesla people. It's crazy. I'm surprised they haven't come to my door and just offered to buy our land and our warehouse and everything, because they can afford almost anything, and they're probably going to want our land. But, you know, it's not for sale. I don't have anywhere else to operate. And I was here first, you know, long before Tesla showed up. But Tesla's buying up all the land around Austin or kind of rural Texas, and they know what they're doing. So Texas has its own power grid operator. I forgot the name of it, but it was famous a few years ago when the Texas power grid virtually shut down during a cold spell. And that brought a lot of attention to this operator, and they have shaped up a lot since then. They were totally corrupt, run by libtards, etc. They have shaped up to the point where now they have a very resilient power grid in Texas, and it can survive very high demand days with extreme cold or extreme heat. But, like I said, Texas is going to build or have to build the equivalent of 30 nuclear power plants in order to feed the data centers and feed the AI projects and the robot projects. So Texas is going to become a very energy-dense place. And it's going to be distributed from Houston to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, some of it around Austin, maybe some of it San Antonio. It's going to be distributed. And Texas is going to experience an economic boom, a golden age for the state, while other states like California and Washington state, at least the cities, will just absolutely collapse and just be like Mad Max, you know, dystopian crap holes. It'll look like Haiti in downtown LA if it doesn't already. But Texas is going to be a golden age of abundance and jobs, actually, jobs for humans, believe it or not, because somebody's got to run the robot factories. Somebody's got to, you know, manage the projects. Somebody's got to help produce energy. Somebody's got to build the natural gas power plants, etc., etc. So I feel incredibly blessed to be in Texas, and I am pro energy, and I am pro robotics, and I am pro AI, and I'm also pro humanity at the same time, because I use these technologies to support humanity, to empower and to decentralize from control systems. I use technology to help set people free. But I support all these industries in Texas. And I also believe that robots can help people grow more food. Robots can help you live a healthier life. A robot can eventually be like a health coach to you or a fitness coach. Robots can do all kinds of amazing things when we have control of them and when it's a decentralized infrastructure. Robots can help you homestead and live out in the country. Robots will be able to help you plant gardens, harvest food, and save seeds, grow mushrooms, anything that you can imagine that requires either brains or labor, which is most things, robots will be able to do it coming up in just the next few years. So I can't say, like, come to Texas. I don't know. A lot of people have already done that. Property prices are definitely elevated around Texas, and the weather is brutal. No other way to say that. You know, a lot of people come and they live one summer in Texas and they're like, oh, that's it. I'm out. I can't deal with this, especially Californians. They try one summer in Texas and they're like, oh my God, I thought I was going to die from being roasted to death. Yeah, welcome to Texas in the middle of July, you know? But that's our way of weeding out sort of weak people, you know? So you got to be a little bit tough to make it in Texas, a little bit at least. And that's a good thing. Plus, when you come, you have to buy an AR-15. Otherwise, you don't qualify for a driver's license in Texas. Yeah, you have to get an AR-15 and a couple of Glocks before you're really a Texan, at least in my view. All right. Guns and robots. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting state in which to live. Guns and barbecue and robots. That's what Texas is going to be known for. All right, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams. And check out all my other interviews and podcasts at brighteon.com. Check out my articles at naturalnews.com. And you'll be able to find me at brighteon.io, brighteon.social, or X using my username HealthRanger. You can also find me at RealHealthRanger on Telegram. So thank you for listening. God bless you all. God bless Texas. Take care. We've got a new product at the Health Ranger store called Oat Milk Powder. Here it is, available now, and it's got just one ingredient, which is oats. I mean, check it out. It's loaded with natural minerals, and it's about 5% fat, organic oat milk powder, certified organic, laboratory tested, and it's a great base for lots of smoothies. You know, I make my smoothies every day, and I started putting it in here as well. Just gives it an extra rich and sweet taste. Actually, oat milk powder is naturally kind of sweet. And if you really want to jazz it up, you can add a banana to it, or you can put whey protein in it. Let me show you what I have on my desk here, just some ideas of some of the things that I use in my smoothies, because you know I've been living on a smoothie for breakfast and lunch for like 20 years now. And so I'll use like Coco Energize, I'll use whey protein, I'll put broccoli sprouts in it for the sulforaphane, and there's the oat milk powder. I also use turmeric powder and then instant coffee sometimes, but those are currently out of stock at our store, so you have to check back on those later. And you can use anthocyanins for fruit-based smoothies, etc. But now, I use a big Vitamix blender, but for those of you who want to have something more convenient for your office that's portable, we now carry the Blendy portable blenders at healthrangerstore.com. Just search for Blendy, B-L-E-N-D-I. And there's a couple different sizes there. Now, these clearly are not as strong as a Vitamix, but they're portable, great for at the workplace, great for travel. You know, you can use it in a hotel room, or, you know, you can use it on the go. You can use it, traveling or in an RV or what have you. And these can blend up, you know, bananas and all these different powders and the new oat milk powder that we have as well quite successfully. And if you want to make my smoothie, it's really just put in like half an avocado and half of a big banana into the Blendy with some of these other powders, like, you know, cacao powder and whey protein powder, a little bit of turmeric powder, etc. And then you're going to get a smoothie really close to what I drink every single day. So that's how you do it. And we've got these products and so much more available at healthrangerstore.com, where every purchase helps support our network and our effort to bring you technologies and solutions and knowledge for human empowerment, life, liberty, and happiness. So thank you for your support for shopping at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for all your support. Take care.